many of you remember in grade school, girls, I remember girls did this a lot, okay? So ladies, I'm not picking on you, but I just, you remember making those little paper things that you kind of did this thing with? Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Put your hands down. Anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, wave at me. Good. Well, there's these little paper things, and you put your little fingers in them and do this little thing. I'm not even good at it. Like, you have to be coordinated, too, as well. But they would make this thing up, and then when you get to the end of whatever it was that you did, then you flip the flap up, and then you got the answer. You wrote the answers in on it, so you got a yes or a no or a maybe or whatever. What I don't like was the definitive answer or the non-definitive answers. You know, I like a yes, and I like a no, but a maybe kind of stinks. Or how many of you remember the magic eight ball? Pastor's preaching about the magic eight ball. That's demonic. No, I'm not. But you would ask this stinking eight ball a question, and you want a yes or a no, but it would come back, it's not determined at this time. What? Kind of like asking your wife, where do you want to eat dinner? I don't care. You know, like, I need something definitive. A yes or a no. Jesus said it this way as he's teaching. Now, remember the context real quick. Let me back up. The context is all this religious stuff has been developed. And they were good at keeping religious laws and precepts. But they were not very good at following through. And so they would keep, in order to keep integrity, they would add more and more things to try and keep people, you know, in the boundaries of religiosity. And Jesus comes along and he says, and you remember from last week, you've heard it said, but I tell you. So he doesn't come and say, that's not true. I'm going to tell you something different. He doubles down. In other words, he said, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I tell you, don't even have hatred in your heart towards somebody. So Jesus takes it to the next level, where here he comes again with another next level thought process, where he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let me read it to you out of the Message version. And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you and never doing it, or saying, God be with you and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. What? Y'all ought to bust up the Message once in a while just to get a slightly different perspective. Jesus is saying, let your yes be and your no be. How come no is louder than yes? Hang on, let me try that again. Let your yes be
yes
and your no be
no.
Right. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, for sure, this is, again, I told you, this is a bunch of teaching. Jesus' greatest message he ever preached, probably the greatest message ever to be preached. And there's a lot of ethical things in this. And this is an ethical deal. This is an integrity thing. This is Jesus saying, you've got all this religious stuff down. Remember earlier, you know, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're all cleaned up on the outside, but the inside's all messed up. We've got to get the inside right. So he's saying, integrity tells me, or says that your yes should be yes and your no should be no. You should be definitive. Now, to be sure, that's true. Amen? Thou shalt not lie, right? It's in the Ten Commandments, so we shouldn't be lying. But the truth of let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, hang with me, because some of you are going to get real legalistic and weird on me in just a moment. But just hang for just a second, okay? Sometimes your yes being yes and your no be no, that statement of the truth is superseded by a higher law called love. You're like, what are you talking about? Okay, for those of you that can't, what if you're in World War II, Germany, and you've got 10 Jewish people hiding in your house, and they come knocking on your door saying, do you have any Jews hiding in your house? And your answer is? But the truth is? We've got a little bit of a quandary, don't we? The higher law is what? Love. We've got this illustration of Rahab, who's mentioned, Rahab the prostitute, who's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, but she's mentioned because of her faith, because she assisted and sent the spies away to another way when they came and asked her. So the same scenario. So I know you don't have anybody hiding in your house that you've got to fend for, but let me give you a little more practical thing. Again, sometimes, yes, your yes is yes and your no is no, and I'm not introducing a bunch of brand new gray areas where we can all go, Pastor gave us permission to lie today. But however, we had a wonderful talent show on Wednesday night. Bethel's Got Talent was awesome. Your lovely daughter or son got up and sang a song, and then they get in the car afterwards, and maybe it was less than stellar by a long way. And they get in the car afterwards, and Mom, give it to me straight. How was it? Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. But what's love tell you to do? That was the best I've ever heard you sound. I'm gonna make a phone call because I know someone that gives voice lessons that will help you out even more down the road. So there's a positive, right? Are you hearing me? We're not introducing this, but Jesus is saying if we're going to be people who live from a pure heart. And the Bible says those that live from a pure heart will see God. But not only that, if we're coming at God with a pure heart, we're also going to be truthful. The truth is, our yes needs to be yes and our no needs to be no. And 99.9, okay, I'm making that up, right? But 99.9% of the time, the truth is always best. You're like, no, it's always best. Oh, really? Honey, does this dress make me look... Truth isn't always best. Okay, now hang with me because some of you are like, oh, he went way off. Let me bring it back now. Because here's what Jesus is addressing. We should live our lives with pure hearts and not be prone to dishonest statements, exaggerations, okay, lies. Living dishonestly. In fact, Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we should be truthful when we speak. Here's what he says. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. It's really at the core of what Jesus meant by this verse today, that we need to be truthful in our conversations with one another. But if the truth is going to destroy someone's spirit, it's probably not spoken in love. Don't you all got quiet right there? If your daughter is going to be destroyed in her spirit, if you tell her the truth about the performance that she just made, and you destroy her spirit in the process, how did God win in that situation? The gifts and call. I'm thankful that I wasn't very good at some things, and no one told me. They told me I could. I remember playing Smoke on the Water for 5 hours in my bedroom in fourth grade. Gong, gong, gong. My dad would tell me it wasn't very good, but other than that, everybody else would say, oh, that's awesome. How's this sound? Country roads. Mama's, oh, that's beautiful. So good. My seventh grade sister, Tezra, my seventh grade teacher. Oh, Billy, you're so good. I don't know why she called me Billy. She never could not stop calling me Billy. She thought my name was Billy. I don't know who Billy is, but he's really good in her eyes. So not only did she get my name wrong, but she would tell me I was good when I really wasn't. Why? She was trying to encourage me in love. She was speaking a truth in love. We're members of the same body. We should speak truthfully to one another. Speaking truthfully to one another. Now, I'm going to get super practical, and you might get super quiet, and I apologize, but I've got to get practical because you're going to leave here and go out into the real world, and this word of God doesn't do us any good if it's not practical. And so speaking the truth means a few things on a practical level. It means being honest in our transactions in the marketplace. You go to your job, you work for somebody, you have your own business. We need to be honest. Our yes needs to be yes, and our no needs to be no. And remember now, he's speaking to a bunch of religious people who have become very dishonest in their transactions. They were even causing you to pay for them to pray for you. Those kinds of things were going on. He says this, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Obviously, thou shalt not steal. is part of the deal. And Jesus is saying that, or Paul's saying here to the Ephesian church, the same thing. Don't steal. Be honest with your dealings. And so you don't go in and you just like rip stuff out of somebody's store and take it away. But then the opposite is also true. If you're a company owner, a business owner, you're also not fudging. Because especially in that world, your fudging could cost somebody's life. Volkswagen found that out not too long ago. When they found out that they had programmed their sensors to incorrectly report the emissions. And so their emissions were causing, they were causing incredibly bad emissions. And the whole world has called them out. And they've had to pay thousands upon millions of dollars in fines because they were lying. They programmed in lies. It was not, there was no integrity to that. So both sides of that equation, are we need to, as Christians. Now, let me back up. Remember Jesus said we're salt and light? Well, if we're going to be salt and light, we should be called to a higher calling, to operate differently, to operate with integrity, to have some sense of integrity about our lives. Watch how Solomon ties these thoughts together about being truthful. He says, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights are in the bag of his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Part of making sure our yes is a yes and our no is a no is being honest and speaking truthful about what we're representing in the marketplace, but not misrepresenting it. Another principle that falls into play here as well is being honest about the time we're being paid for. Super practical stuff. If you're paid to be there from 8 to 5, you're not in the parking lot at 8:03. You're at your desk. You're not over at the, you know, coffee pot for 30 minutes talking about The Bachelorette. Sorry, too real. You're getting paid an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. And those of us who call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, salt and light, we're not fudging on it. We're doing our best to do things the right way. We're walking with integrity in our lives. When Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, he's also saying this. Sorry, I got to go here. Calling in sick when you're not sick. Talking about integrity. Again, well, everybody does it. Well, you're salt and light. You're supposed to be different than everyone else. You're supposed to be impacting and affecting your world. We are all called to that. Calling in now, I understand, you know, everyone else is doing it. Might be your excuse. Like Jesus is going to go, oh, well, if everyone else is doing it, that's fine. Now, just a little bit of wiggle room for you. You might have an employer that goes, hey, listen, you got a bunch of time on the books. You need to, you know, take it. But that's a different story. But you going, I can't come in today. And you're not really, hello. I know I'm meddling, aren't I? Remember, I was guilty of this a lot when I was a child. Anybody else fake when you were sick, when you were a kid so you didn't have to go to school? I'm the only one? There's only like three or four of us? I wake up, my mom, I'm sick, I don't feel good. I need to stay home from school. I just had a math test or something that I didn't want to do, and so I wanted to stay home. I guarantee you, because I spoke that out and I put it out there in the atmosphere and spoke that, by noon I was sick as a dog. I had just full on talked myself into it. I had just prophesied it over myself. You're saying, oh, you're taking this a little too far, Pastor. Well, Joel says it this way, let the weak say, I am strong. Wait, the Bible just told me to lie. Let the weak say, I am strong. Is the Bible saying that it's okay to lie? Or is the Bible saying that we can call ourselves up to a higher calling? That there's something that God has for us? That the weak can say, you know what? I am strong. I'm strong where? In the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Well, if that's true, if the weak can say I am strong and they become stronger, then the opposite's also true. If the strong, the healthy, call in sick, you're prophesying something. You're releasing something over your life. You're speaking something over your life that you really don't want in your life. And by the way, praying for something on a Sunday morning and then undercutting it all week long is also a way of not letting your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, you pray about a situation and then you worry about it the rest of the week. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. The Bible says the tongue has the power of death and life, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We should speak what we believe over our lives. And then not only that, in terms of keeping our yes, yes, and our no, be no, I've already alluded to this before, but if you're going to speak the truth, and if the truth, even if it's hurtful in the sense that it's going to be painful, speak the truth, the Bible says, in love. Love has to rule. Speak the truth in love. I had a situation. How many of you enjoy confrontation? I'm glad you didn't raise your hand because I was going to stay way away from you today. I had a situation that I had to confront an issue with someone, and it's about 3 weeks old on the scenario, and you're like, "Ooh, you were harboring bitterness." No, I had not, no bitterness whatsoever. I had a circumstance that needed to be confronted. It was an interpersonal situation. I was completely walking in forgiveness. I was allowing the Holy Spirit to help me to wade through it before I had the time to confront, because why? I wanted to make sure that when the time came to confront the situation, I was able to speak the truth in love. Why? So that we would have loving resolve in the situation, that we could actually come to a conclusion, because every one of us knows what it's like to speak your truth and give somebody your peace of mind because they deserve it. I'm often careful about giving people the peace of my mind because I'm reminded it might be my last peace. I don't want to give up my peace. And so for 3 weeks, I prayed and asked the Lord, "Lord, give me the words, a word fitly spoken or like apples of gold, the words that would be sweet, the words that would bring loving resolve. Lord, give me the word." And sure enough, when the time came and the confrontation happened and there was an opportunity, it was a confrontation in love, and we hugged and it was over and done with. And it was amazing. And God got glory, and there was edification, and there was building up, and I didn't have to tear this person down in order to build them back up. It was just a matter of a few words and things were resolved. I want to come to that. Loving resolve. We should speak the truth in love. I thought to myself, when someone's wronged me or upset me or disappointed me or discouraged me or let me down, oh, I got some words for you right now. And going back to last week, you can have some thoughts, but I wouldn't hang on to them very long. Bible says to cast down those thoughts and those imaginations. Quickly, deal with them. And like in my situation, I had to release those things in my life. Speak the truth in love. Paul's saying that the truth that we speak in love is truth that will edify the person. In other words, it's a good practice to say, is what I'm about to say going to be helpful or hurtful? Paul said it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only, everyone say only, what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit, everyone say benefit, those who listen. I have been, stopping here for just a minute, Holy Spirit, thank you. I have been privy to watch two Christians go at it. I didn't feel uplifted. So it isn't even necessarily about the two people that are in it at the moment. There are other people paying attention and watching. You're salt and you're light. You're called to a higher calling, Christian. And so don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. These godly words of instruction might cause me to stop and say, you know, when I think about it and I stop to pray with that, it might be better off that I just remain silent for a minute. It might be better off that I give this a little bit of time to make sure that I have the right spirit about me before I confront the issue. Are you hearing me this morning? You're getting quiet on me. I'm trying to be super practical. When I get practical, y'all get quiet. Thank you. Sometimes I just want you to shout me down, but you're like, no, you're being way too practical. All right, let me go on. It's important, again, to watch the words that are coming out of our mouths. And while I'm on the subject of not letting unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, I've got to admit that I personally have begun to catch myself before I say some things. human nature will cause you to say some things. And I begun to catch myself in this regard. And once in a while, when I catch myself, I like almost pat myself on the back. But I'm not really patting myself on the back. It's like the Holy Spirit did that. Because me and my normal self, I would have just let it rip. I catch myself I'm careful not to disagree with what I just prayed for. I just agreed over something with the Lord, and now I'm going to go disagree with it. What am I saying? I'm careful when I know there's more month than there is money, and I can see it. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. I'm careful not to say that, because you know what? I've had a lot of months where there were more months than money, and here I stand. God has always got me through. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can truly hang on to God. I can pray here on a Sunday morning, but I'm not going to leave here on a Sunday morning after praying and believing God and having faith in God that he is in control and he can do something about my situation, and then go out on a Monday and worry the rest of the week. I'm going to pray and believe God, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to let my yes be a yes and my no be a no. I'm going to trust him in all those things. I'm not going to discount it. I'm not going to lift a prayer balloon to the Lord and then poke a hole in it on its way up with my words. Are you hearing me? We can do that. Maybe I'm just talking to me today. I can do that a lot. I've got to be careful and watch the words from my mouth. We can't expect God to answer our prayers on Sunday going around popping the balloon of prayer all day, all throughout the week. The Bible says it this way. James says it this way. You're like, I don't know about that, Pastor. How about what James said? He says this, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. We need to begin, I need to begin to say in conversation, in my regular life conversation, what I pray in conversation to the Lord. I need to say the same thing. I need to say that he is the I am. That's my favorite name of God, I am. Because I am means he's whatever I need him to be. What are you, God? I am. I am what? Whatever you want. You need healing? I'm healer. Need forgiveness? I'm here. God, will you love me? Yes. I love God's favorite word is yes. He loves to tell his kids yes. And by the way, if you hear a no from God, it's because he's got a bigger yes for you. He's got a better idea. You might get a temporary no, but it's for a bigger yes. I don't know who that's for this morning, but that's the Holy Spirit speaking that to your heart. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Pray, believe, and don't doubt in your heart. Stay steadfast. Stay steady. Hold on to the truth. Get a hold of something. Pray the word of God. Speak the truth of God over your situation. We need to expect that God's going to follow through on his word. And let me say one more thing about that in terms of integrity. I'm going to get off this one really quick. But if you tell someone you're going to do something, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. This is literally my biggest pet peeve for our current world. Anybody else with me? Well, if it bugs you, don't do it. Because we've all probably been guilty from time to time of doing exactly that. Promising something and not coming through. Making a promise, making a vow, making a pledge, telling someone you're going to do something, saying yes, but really meaning no, saying yes, but falling short. Say something and follow through with it. Have that kind of integrity. If we say we're going to do something, we need to follow through with the commitment. And there might be times where it's just impossible. Well, at least be honest about it. Give them a call. Let them know what's going on. Like, I know I said I'd be there at 3, but I got hung. I'm in traffic. There are some things in life that are unavoidable. Sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes there's a wreck. I had to go see Jack at the hospital. There's 2 wrecks on my way. It took me about an hour to go I think it's probably an hour to La Jolla most times anyway, but it took me longer than normal. I know that. You tell somebody you're going to be somewhere, be there. I love it, Shane. Shane, that want to know what time to be here. He got here 15 minutes early. He was raised right. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're 30 minutes late. Amen, Shane? That's how I was raised. I mean, I don't know if was that a military thing? I don't know if I got it from there or what, but all I know is that's how I know. It's an integrity thing. Do what you say you're going to do. And then that means also this. If your yes is yes and your no is no, Aaron and worship team, I want you to come. Don't start playing. I'll give you the clue in just a moment. But that also means this. If your yes is a yes and your no is a no, that also means finishing this Christian race well and doing it. You might stumble and fall, but you have told all your family and you've told all your friends and you've declared to people that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Christ. And that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, but it does mean that your yes is a yes and your no is a no. You're going to say yes to God and no to the enemy, and you're going to make that a daily declaration over your life. It's not a one time at the altar thing. That's why the Bible says every day we should take up a cross and follow him. You have a choice every single day of saying yes to Jesus and no to the enemy. And the louder you say yes, you don't have to say it as loud a no to the enemy. You just say yes to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I know a lot of people running around trying to resist the devil without submitting themselves to God. It starts there. And oh, by the way, in the submitting yourselves to God, you build up resistance to the enemy. You can only resist when you've submitted yourself to God. You can only resist when you've got a relationship with the Lord and you've submitted, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And the enemy comes in with his tricks and his lies, and you see him coming from a mile away. I see you coming. Yeah, let me give you an enemy that's coming your way. I'm not prophesying this. I know this to be basically a fact, unless you have some sort of a glitch in the universe this week. But it got hot in the last couple weeks. That means your electric bill this month is going up. Pastor just surprised me with it. It's not a surprise. Like, we should anticipate. You get the bill, you go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. No, you did, actually. It happened last summer, too. It's not a surprise. God, you fell off the throne. No, he didn't last summer, and he won't this summer. Because we're going to continue to trust him. My yes is yes, and my no is no. And though in the moment, human tendency is to kind of, what am I going to do now? I've had a lot of what am I going to do now moments. And guess what? God got me through all of them because I clung to him. And I didn't let the circumstances bury me. Paul said this. He said, I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him that day. He was writing to Timothy when he said this. And basically he was saying, look, I've got a lot of mileage on me and I've been serving the Lord and my yes has been yes for a long time. And I'm finishing this race and I just want you to know it's going to be worth it. Hang in there. Young people, if you're under 20, wave at me real quick. Wave at me. Okay, there's a bunch of people who are not under 20. They've got a lot of mileage on them. If you've been a Christian in this room for 20 plus years, I want you to lift one hand up and keep it up. 20 plus years. All right. Now, keep your hand up if, since you came to Christ, everything has gone exactly as you thought it would. What the heck? Sorry, kids. What are we saying? But here's what happens. Didn't matter. How many of you, put your hand back up. You've been a Christian 20 years. 20 years plus. How many of you can say you honestly didn't mess up at all this week? Didn't have a bad attitude? You didn't mess up at all this week? What? I can't even help myself. All right? Because we blow it. We stumble. We fall. Young people, here's the deal. It's not about perfection. It's about pursuing God. It's about saying yes to Jesus, no to the enemy, and every single day waking up and saying yes again. The reason why I point out these mileage-enhanced people is because there's experience here. I'm just telling you right now, I've been in those moments where I didn't know how things were going to work out, but I knew God. And I knew he knew how to work things out for me because he was my father. And he loves me. And he wants to say yes. And he wants to bless me. This morning, I want to invite you to do something. I'm going to have Aaron pray over us, or sing a song over us as a prayer. But I want you to know something. In the next few moments, just in the quietness of this moment, you might have completely blown it. Like, blown it. I got news for you. Your biggest mess, God can turn into a message. You might have made the biggest mistake of your life this last week, but God knows how to turn that around for your good. All we've got to do is recommit our hearts and say yes again to Jesus. I want to have him sing this. If you know the words, or if the words are up there and you want to sing along, sing with him this morning. Then I'm going to come back and explain where we're going from there.